opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning, and welcome to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Celebrating over 10 years on the air. Good morning, Carl here. Linda on assignment, as she has been on every Tuesday for the last 8 years. So, I don't even know why I say it anymore, except just to let you know that she's on assignment.
Some of us just waking up are still realizing it's Tuesday.
Oh, there you go. That's why. Today, the 6th of October, Tuesday, 7:05 in the morning, news brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Caring, compassion, community, courage, Shasta Regional Medical Center. Okay. Hey, our phone line's here, 605-4567. We're streaming live at KCNR1460.com. At least we hope we are. Have we checked it today? We're up. Okay. Good morning to Ashley, weather, dog fire, anything else that you find entertaining today?
It's National Orange Wine Day. That's entertaining to me, at least. We are looking at a fairly cold morning, so if you don't have that jacket handy yet, you might consider just wearing it to the car. We are looking at 48 degrees currently. But we are going to get up to 93. We're in that time of year where it's, you don't know if it's shorts or parka day today. And today is both. We are looking at a high of 93 today with smoke throughout the valley, and that we're looking at something similar tomorrow. But we're looking at things hopefully starting to clear up by Thursday. Thursday night, slight chance of showers, which should really not only help with those fires, but help with the smoke in the air. And then rain is likely by Saturday. So, yay, autumn is here, finally. We're looking at a high of 71 on Friday and a high of 67 on Saturday. That should really help with these fires. We're still waiting for an update from the Zog fire. We're still looking at the same acreage that we had Saturday, which is great news, but our containment is now up to 80%. So, yay, they're definitely getting a handle on it. I think they're probably going to start sending some resources back down to the Glass Fire, which is in Napa area, pretty soon. The August complex has broken 1 million acres in the one single fire, and that did, I believe I saw a report.
1 million acres. Just think about that.
Remember when acres in a season was a thing?
Oh, my God, in a season. Yeah. Yeah, but even more, the fact of all of the timber, mm-hmm. and now what do we do with it? Are we immediately going to go out and start harvesting it while we can still use it? Or is it going to be a battle again with environmentalists? So now we have a bunch of dead trees, mm-hmm. which burn even better. So when you ask yourself, why do the fires go back over the same places? Well, you got grasses that grow, of course, ensuing times, but then you have trees that have been out there aging for mm-hmm. 2 years, rotting or drying out, totally drying out. When a flat fire hits it, boom, keeps going, because we can't get these damn trees, the burnt trees, out of the forest because of regulations or lawsuits or things like that.
And if you look at the areas of the Zog fire that aren't contained, a lot of those overlap with the car burn scar from 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And a lot of that, what made it so scary was the homes that barely survived the car fire, and now there's a bunch of dry grasses right next to them. Those are lighting up, and so the Zog fire exploded. It moved super fast.
Yeah. Well, you know what? It's going to continue moving. I'm not talking the Zog fire, but any fires we have in California because of the thickness of the mm-hmm. of the forest. And this is on the feds and the state. It's not just the state on this. I think the majority of one of the last fires was on BLM land. So it's got to be a federal and state partnership here. You know, most of the private industry, you know, like, you know, that, you know, Sierra Pacific, they keep that cleaned out in there, mm-hmm. from what I understand. You know, that there's, you know, they try to manage these forests as best they can. All the time fighting lawsuits. And I'm not talking about, oh, you're burned to forest. No, they're fighting lawsuits just to cut their own going against the government with all the regulations just to cut their own timber.
Mm-hmm.
Takes them 8-9 months. So
yeah.
We need to do something as – if the state could get together on one thing, it would
not be – not lighting the North State on fire.
Would be cleaning out these forests. If I tell you what, if Gavin Newsom did that, he might actually have a chance of obtaining a vote from me. No, I take it all back. He's got to do more than just that.
That's a good first step.
I was just kidding, but that would be a great step. You know what? Use your power as a governor instead of shutting down businesses and making people's lives miserable. Say, come out and make one of your Newsom's noon proclamations that we're going, our number one threat are these forests, you know, caused by whatever you want.
Our own homes trying to burn us down.
It's caused by climate change. Okay, Gav. It's caused by climate change. Climate's changing. Okay. Our number one thing we need to accomplish that we can accomplish, even if you did everything they wanted to do about, you know, emitting stopping the carbon going into the air, it's going to take 50 years.
Mm-hmm.
This is something you could accomplish in 5 years and put thousands of people to work, provide, you know, renewable energy to millions of people. This is what you could do, Gavin.
But the spotted owl.
Spotted owl. Don't just put a little spot around for them. Yeah, a little spot for the spotted owl. Spotted owls, who now, because barn owls come in and are much better predators than the spotted owl. They're pushing the spotted owls out, except for now they're shooting barn owls to keep them out of the spotted owl area. It's missing something here.
Nature. Nature is not that fair.
Well, see, we can intercede when we want to for a certain breed or certain genus or a certain type. All right. Hey, look. did I say I might vote for Gavin Newsom? No. What I said was he could possibly earn a vote.
If he started acting like a governor instead of a toddler.
Well, I didn't say that.
Okay.
See?
That's what I'm saying.
I don't make personal attacks. I try never to make personal attacks on
people.
Yeah,
but his governing style has been closer to one than the other.
Well, his governing style is, I'm still trying to figure out what that is. One day, it's a, you think that, you know, he comes up and he actually takes the hit because we didn't have enough power from solar and wind. Just didn't have enough power to when the temperatures are really hot and people were using it, we didn't have enough power. We browned out. Yes, and Gavin says, well, you know what? We don't have enough solar and wind. Well, then why are we trying to do away with natural gas generators, large generators that, like we hear in Reading News? It's cheap. It's cheaper than other type of fuels. The emissions are real low. And yet we're trying, as a state, to get rid of natural gas. It makes no sense. It makes no sense at all, based on something that might happen in the next 50 years.
I understand
am
a
I
lot.
Just, am I just, am I missing something here? You may be the wrong person to ask, because you and I think a lot on a lot of things. We should invite a real climate activist in here, and
get them have them
tell us why we need to do all these things.
So the way my dad explained it was a kind of, I don't know where he got this from, but he drew me a little grid, a 2x2 grid, and there were on the top row were if we do nothing and if we do something, were the rows. And then the columns were if climate change is man-made and if it's natural.
Mm-hmm.
And all of them were exactly the same. except for if it's man-made and if it's natural, then we might be able to do something about it. Or if it's man-made and if there's something we can do.
Well, emissions. Let's just say emissions from cars. Cars are getting cleaner.
Yeah.
And you of course, want to get to the point where you can have zero-emission cars. But to do that, I saw a great photo yesterday, and it showed, you know, coal mines and the strip mining, you know, and which is ugly.
Mm-hmm.
Then it showed where they're going after the those valuable minerals or ores that they need to build batteries.
Oh, yeah.
It looked just as bad.
The only difference is
you got kids working there as opposed to the strip mines where you had adults working there. And but this one, it's kids, and it's near. It's not slave labor, but it's near slave labor because they don't pay them anything to get the materials we need to make the batteries to make these cars run.
Yeah.
So
it's not ethically much better.
Not ethically. No, it's ethically worse because of the labor that you're using.
But it's about feeling good because you're using a clean energy car. That makes you a good person, right?
Yeah. I guess that, well, you know what it does? It does make people feel like they're doing something. So, and they are. Now, the problem is with making everybody go to an electric car, what if you don't have the means to recharge your vehicle? Look at the fires out here. Can you imagine when somebody gets a 15-minute get out of the area and they look at their electric car because the lines have been down and they've got enough power in that car to go 150 yards? That's it. What do you do then? What about farmers and ranchers that use pickup trucks and they travel, you know, 75, 100 miles a day or further? Say they've traveled 200 miles a day delivering things out to their farm and their ranch. Now they've got to find a place to recharge that truck.
Have little charging ports.
You know, can we build the charging units? Oh, yeah, we could build charging units by the millions. We can do that. The question is where all the electricity comes for this. And if we're into this wind and solar and you have a bad week where it's raining and the wind don't blow, what kind of backups do we have?
Yeah.
What kind of backups do we have to keep all of these cars on the move? Can you imagine if they had a week like that and people are trying to travel and they don't have enough electricity for everybody?
It's a very delicate balance and a very delicate system.
How long does it take? You can buy the special quick chargers, but most people...
Which are terrible for batteries, by the way.
Tell me about it. You explained to me what happened to my battery in my last computer because I didn't have the exact... fitting.
Right, power cord.
The power cord broke, and I replaced it with something that eventually burned out my battery. Yeah. Okay, hey, we got to take a break. Hey, this portion of the show is brought to you by our friends over at Cypress Square Barbershop. Cypress Square Barbershop is just the greatest place in the world to get a haircut. Friendly, extremely professional, know what they're doing. It's a veteran-owned business, and they give discounts for seniors and veterans. They are following the rules of the state, where they're, you know, there's only one customer in there, and they have four chairs, but they only have one at a time. Even though the chairs are so far apart, they far exceed what the state's guidelines are for social distancing. But their rules are they can only have one in there at a time for a shop their size. Everything is sanitized. You know what? You've heard me talk about this every day. There is no better place to get a haircut than Cypress Square Barbershop, man's last stronghold. It works off of appointments, so give them a call at 244-9478. 7:19 in the morning, went over a little bit here, and we'll be right back after these messages.
I fell into a burning ring of fire. I went down, 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 and the flames went higher. And it burns, 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 the ring of fire. The ring of fire.
colonoscopy is the most effective method of screening for colon cancer and is the only procedure that can both detect and prevent cancer in one procedure. Take-home tests can miss up to 1 in 12 of colon cancers and most precancerous polyps. If you're 50 or older, now is the time to schedule this life-saving test. When caught early, the survival rate of colon cancer is 90%, so stop making excuses and get screened. This public service message is brought to you by Reading Endoscopy Center. Call them at 530-246-7000 or visit readingendoscopy.com.
Career politicians in Sacramento are holding fancy fundraisers with rich donors and are too busy to pay attention to us. We deserve housing we can afford, quality education, healthcare, and jobs that support our families. I'm Pamela Swartz, and I'm running for state senate. I grew up in Reading. I'm your neighbor, not a politician. Vote for me, Pamela Swartz, and I'll work for jobs and investment in our district, and not for big money donors.
Paid for by Pamela Swartz for state senate. ID number 1423306.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Recently, my very good friend, Reverge Anselmo, donated a very large amount of money to my campaign. In fact, history-making. Anselmo came to this county a few years ago with one thing in mind, to spare no expense and build the finest restaurant and winery. But after the county resource manager consistently harassed him, embarrassed him, and overregulated him to the point he left this county never to return. I can't do anything for Mr. Anselmo now, but I vow to stop this type of corruption from happening to others. I'm Patrick Henry Jones, and yes, I'll spend every penny of that donation, paid for by the committee to elect Patrick Henry Jones, Supervisor, District 4.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide three delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
Hear us streaming 24/7 at kcnr1460.com.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Phone lines here 605-4567. I'd like to hear from you. At 8 o'clock, we have Dr. Norm Hall from Simpson University. He's going to be in here. But before that, we've got plenty of time to listen to the things that may be stuck in your craw. And the Hotel California, you can check in, but you can never check out. Wasn't that the theme of a roach motel that they used to have, you know, roach traps? You can check in, but you'll never check out. Wasn't that one of them? Do you think this
sounds about right?
Yeah. Well, here we are in Hotel California. And up in the North State, you kind of feel like, what's going on here? What's going on here? You know, we were doing well, and we got punished by the governor. And now people are saying is that we're going to move into the red phase because of the number of COVID cases.
167 new cases over the weekend.
And that's a lot of cases. Now, why are we having all of a sudden having all these cases? Yeah, you can. Well, part of it is that it hit the nursing home so hard. I think they had 60 something. So do you have a readout on who the new ones are?
Give me a minute.
Okay, find that. Now, of course, when Chico State came back, they had a huge influx. Now we've got we have Simpson opening. We have Bethel. And there's been an article in the paper that kind of alludes that Bethel was one of the reasons that we're having this. But they just had another 7 people get it from cluster housing. And they were in a cluster. I shouldn't say cluster housing. But another 7 I saw that had cluster, they were living in an environment together. The question is how many people also, when you look at this, how many cases, how many are in the hospital being treated for this? How many are in the intensive care unit? And you're looking all that stuff up right now.
We have 8 hospitalized in Shasta County right now, 1 in the ICU, 93 in isolation, and 279 in quarantine.
Okay, so what we have here is we have people that are positive for COVID, but very few that are in the hospital.
101 active cases currently.
101 active cases, but only 8 in the hospital and one
in the ICU.
And 1 in the ICU. I think many cases are, and you can take this for what it's worth, but they're like President Trump. He caught COVID. They moved him to the hospital because he is the president, and they want to ensure that he's okay. And within a day or two, they released him from the hospital. He's back to work. I think that the vast majority of the cases of COVID are like this, like the ones we have here. Okay, you're in isolation or you're in quarantine. You're self-isolating or you're, self-quarantining. And we have a small number that end up in the hospital. So what is this? I've read an article that says maybe the COVID is not as strong, or maybe people are starting to get some herd immunity, that it's not as severe as it was, or maybe it was never as severe. When it went into the nursing homes in New York, and yes, Governor Cuomo put them into nursing homes, and the death toll was enormous. Is COVID something? Is it a made up thing? Absolutely not. It kills people. Usually people with comorbidity causes, either their age, there's underlying conditions like this, but still, it's a serious disease we have here, or diseases, or a flu, influenza. And now it's time for the flu shots. And flu shots are all of a sudden... when the county wanted all the healthcare workers mandated they had to have flu shots, county health workers, everybody, all the health workers in the county, many of them pushed back. I'm not going to get a flu shot. I'm not going to get a flu shot. We'll just shut this place down. Then the county backed off on that and says, it's the same thing we've always said. We recommend that you get flu shots, but you can go into any hospital. Dignity or Shasta Regional or other places, and you would see people there. This was years ago, but I would see people in their masks because they didn't get the flu shots. For whatever reason, they didn't get the flu shots. Now, here's the question. When people are saying, well, they should get them, my question to them was, well, when the vaccine for the COVID comes out, and it will, how would you like it if the state government, the governor of California, said, you will get the vaccine, it'll be free, but you will get it, or you will be fined? It's kind of like you will buy insurance, or you will be fined.
Does their insurance cover the fine of not getting vaccinated?
No.
That would be helpful.
That would be great. But see, as much as everybody says, well, everybody should mask. Okay. But you can't force people to mask. How can you force people to get a vaccination? I mean, you have gone so far over their trampling their civil rights at that point. And if you don't buy insurance, you have to pay a fine, a large fine. But when you listen to people that are that have insurance, oh yeah, I'm only paying, you know, $10 a month. Really? Yeah, but I've got a $15,000 deductible. Excuse me? Yeah, I don't pay much, but I have a $15,000 deductible. And another person here said, oh no, we pay $200 a month, but we have a $8,000 deductible. That's that you have to meet before the insurance kicks in. Now, you may be, you know, when they in, covered California, yeah, you may pay a little price, but your deductibles are so high. It's ridiculous. You know, if you're healthy and you're young, the chance of you going to the hospital are not big. I mean, they just aren't. But yet, if you don't buy the insurance, you get hit with a hefty fine. And you, and ordinarily, you wouldn't buy insurance. And so now you have to buy the insurance. It, you know, again, you're trampling on, in my opinion, you're trampling on people's rights. And the government says, and many people say, well, we just have to pay for them anyway. Well, yeah, we pay for them anyway. But we also pay for so many other things. Why are we paying for another person's, you know, to supplement their insurance if you don't need to use health insurance? So you're supplementing other people's health insurance. Well, yeah, but you supplement so many other things. You're right. I don't like it either. I see people down here at the post office, and I'm going over again, but that's just the way it is. I'm down here at the post office on Yuba Street. And if you haven't been down there lately, you need to go down there. It is a thriving community on that street of homeless. Linda drove through there the other day just to drop off mail. You know, on the side street there, you can just drop off mail. She said that she had to wait. She had to ask permission practically to get to drive down that road just to be able to mail 4 letters because there were so many there. And, you know, they're, and, you know, I talked to, the Randy, the hot dog guy who's open today, by the way, has best hot dogs in town, that the, he says it has changed dramatically. He, you know, he knew everybody before, you know, he knew who they were. He knew their foibles. He knew that they weren't dangerous. And he said, this group is different. They're new. They're from the prisons. Mm-hmm. And he says, and things have changed. So his, you know, Randy is a very affable person. But I'm watching his face now and the way he's looking. His eyes are always on the move now. So
probably has the most money in the
at the beginning of the month. Yeah. And here's the reason they hang out at the post office. Why do you think they hang out at the post office? It's because the SSI comes in. It comes in general delivery at the post office. So they're standing there as people get their checks and they can steal them or extort it. That's
Sounds
what's happening.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Okay, time to take a break. This portion of the show brought to you by Bastiani Arms and John Bastiani. Started this business about the same time we did, and he's on his 10th anniversary right now. And it is my firearms dealer of choice. Very professional down there, very courteous. They have all the accessories that you could possibly want. I would say they have all the guns you possibly want, but during this crazed time where so many people have bought firearms, he's got a lower selection than he usually does, because as soon as he gets in a Rugers or Glocks or other well-known firearms, they disappear off the shelves. It's the same thing with ammo, just like every other gun store in this town or maybe the state. But give them a call at 222-8222. See what they have. He'll let you know when next shipments are coming in so you can get down there. That's Bastiani Arms, 2539 Larkspur, right here in Reading. We'll be right back.
Give a man a free house and he'll bust out the windows for his family. Now, he's a big spender, no food on the table, and the bills ain't paid, cause he's spending on cigarettes and PGA. They'll turn us all into beggars, cause they're easier to please. They're feeding our people that...
paid for by Adam McElvain for Reading City Council 2020. Hi, I'm Adam McElvain, Mayor of Reading, and I'm running for re-election to the Reading City Council. I am a father, husband, veteran, business owner, Simpson graduate, and our current mayor. I started attending council meetings in 2006 and served as a city commissioner for over 7 years before winning a seat on the council in 2016. I have kept all the promises I made to you 4 years ago and want to continue that good work. Our police department is stronger, faster, and more well-trained. Total crimes have dropped every year and response times to emergency calls have dropped significantly. Our fire department is the biggest it's been in our city's history, and we are far better prepared to fight wildfires. Also, due to the help of streamlined policies and reduced fees, our city is experiencing investment not seen in a generation. I would be honored to serve you for 4 more years and ask for your vote on November 3rd for Reading City Council.
Medicare open enrollment is October 15th through December 7th. Help keep your drug costs low by reviewing your plan for the following year. Remember, Medicare plans can change each year. PSA2, Health Insurance Counseling and Advocacy Program, HICAP services are free and include individual counseling and assistance, as well as community education services. PSA2 HICAP services does not sell, endorse, or recommend any specific insurance product. PSA2 HICAP is your trusted source for Medicare information. Call PSA2 HICAP services for more information. 530-223-09. Or 1-800-434-0222. That's 530-223-0999 or 1-800-434-0222.
This project was supported in part by grant number 90S APG 009-40100 from the U.S. Administration for Community Living, Department of Health and Human Services, Washington, D.C. 20201. Grantees undertaking projects under government sponsorship are encouraged to express freely their findings and conclusions. Points of view or opinions do not, therefore, necessarily represent official Administration for Community Living policy.
Where do you go in Shasta County to get advice on the best type of firearm to meet your needs and how to safely carry and use it? The answer is to join the revolution at locally owned Bastiani Arms. Bastiani Arms believes in a better way to serve their customers and providing them with all the information needed to make the right decisions before and after the sale. They have a large selection of guns and ammunition and always special discounts for veterans. Self-protection is your right. Join the revolution at Bastiani Arms, 2539 Larkspur Lane in Reading, 222-8222.
There they go again. Labor unions and Sacramento politicians are targeting rideshare and food delivery drivers. They passed a law, and they've sued in court to take away the right of drivers to be independent contractors. It's just another power grab by Sacramento politicians. That's why we need Prop 22. Yes on 22 protects the right of Californians to work as independent contractors. Yes on 22 protects hundreds of thousands of jobs. Yes on 22 protects rideshare and delivery services millions depend on. Yes on 22 is supported by the overwhelming majority of drivers and the California Taxpayers Association, the California Small Business Association, and the California Peace Officers Association. Vote yes on 22. Ad paid for by Yes on 22. Save app-based jobs and services. A coalition of on-demand drivers and platforms. Small businesses, public safety, and community organizations. Committee major funding from Uber Technologies, Lyft, and DoorDash.
Conservative? Flaunt it. Call Carl and Linda right now.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios, KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Good morning, everybody. It is 7:38 in the morning. Carl Bott here, 605-4567 is the phone number here on the 6th of October. And our temperature is approximately,
it was about 50 degrees last I looked.
Okay, I've got it up to 56 right now, but it's going to go up to 93. It's going to be a nice day, except for the continuing smoke.
Which should be edged out by the end of the week. We're looking at a chance of showers Thursday night and into Saturday.
And we can hope.
So that should clear out a lot of the skies. Maybe we can even see Lassen and Shasta from Reading once again.
Let's talk about propositions. Yeah, maybe we can actually see across the valley. Let's talk about Proposition 20. We talked a little bit about it yesterday, but I just want to make sure that you understand the ramifications of Prop 20 and why you should vote yes on Prop 20. Now, you can of course go to the website voterguide.com. sos.california.ca.gov. And you can look at every one of the propositions. Just remember that when you read these propositions, you're going to look at them and go, well, is this a good thing or not, because of the way it's written, of course. So there's other ways you can go out and look. But on Proposition 20, it's going out and it's going to fix some of the unintended consequences caused by Props 47, 57, AB 109, early release for violent crimes. Well, here are some of the ones that are considered nonviolent. Are you ready? Abuse of a child under age 8 by a caretaker that would cause great bodily injury or death. Shooting at someone with a gun. That's nonviolent. Trying to stab a person with a knife, severely beating an elderly or dependent adult, shooting at an inhabited home, drive-by shootings. When did drive-by shootings become nonviolent? This would define the violent crimes as violent, thus making those who commit them ineligible for early release. Does this mean that they don't get turned loose anyway, through the way the things are done there? Well, no, they probably still at a certain point, but this would change this. It would make all thefts under $950 a misdemeanor, no matter how many times. That was Prop 47. No matter how many times a person is convicted of stealing, and you know what happened then. They are that part of our society was going in with their calculators on their free phones, and they were figuring out how much they could steal. Now, if you get this, would change this. And for people that were, for a third-time offender, because this is now serial theft, to be punished as a misdemeanor or a lowest-level felony. And would also allow prosecutors to charge a felon if the total value of multiple thefts by a serial thief, organized theft rings, was over $950. Also, auto theft, theft of a firearm, credit, debit card fraud, identity theft, and embezzlement to be charged at a lowest level of felony. Parole violations under Prop 20 would require that a parolee who violates the terms of his parole for a third time be brought before court for a judge to determine whether parole should be revoked. These are all yeses on Prop 20. Also reinstates DNA collection for certain crimes that were reduced to misdemeanors as part of Prop 47. Studies have shown that DNA collected from theft, and drug crimes solve violent crimes, including robbery, rape, and murder. And you've seen this happen before. So, yes on 20. That's the way I'm voting. You do not have to vote yes on 20. You can vote no on 20 and then just leave it the way it is. And we've seen how AB 109, 47, and 57 have worked so well for us up in Shasta County. This is a definite yes. Now we go into another one. Proposition 16, and this is about affirmative action. Proposition 16 says, essentially, permits government decision-making policies to consider race, sex, color, ethnicity, or national origin in order to address diversity by repealing the constitutional provision prohibiting such policies. Yeah. This is when it says a yes vote on this measure means state and local entities could consider race, sex, color. I mean, you know what it is. It's affirmative action. That's what it is here. A no vote means that they have to it upholds the current ban on the consideration of race, sex, color, ethnicity, and national origin in public education, public employment, and public contracting would remain in effect. It seems to me already in California we have a lot of diversity in everything we're doing here. This is one that you see a lot of the people that are advertising. This is from the Asian community. The Asian community feels like they are already having problems being admitted into schools. And this, they said this would make it harder, if I'm listening to their spots right. So, do we want to bring back? Affirmative action? That's the essential thing here. Under Prop 16, if you vote yes, you're saying yes, we need affirmative action. No means we don't need it. We'll just go by the way the Constitution is written right now. All right, let's take a quick break. Cornerstone Community Bank brings us this segment. It is a community-oriented, dedicated team of locals taking care of local businesses and families, and they're doing just a great job of it. They've got three branches, one down in Red Bluff at 500 Riverside Way. They have one at 1845 California Street in the heart of downtown Reading. And the other out on Hartnell Avenue in the old Raley Shopping Center. The main branch is at 192 Hartnell Avenue. They want you to know is that they are still moving dreams forward. During this COVID crisis, during fires, during elections, they are still moving dreams forward. Learn more at bankcornerstone.com. We'll be right back, 7:44 in the morning. 56 degrees out there, going up to 93 today. It looks like things are starting to cool off and maybe some rain by the end of the week here.
Who's to say I can't do everything, well, I can try. And as I roll along, I begin to find things aren't always just what they seem. I wanna turn the whole thing upside down. I'll find the things they say just can't be found.
Hello. This is Mark Rosano, candidate for City Council. Did you know earlier this summer, Reading City Council sold a piece of land for $3,000 to a political opposition group in a bid to stop the Reading Rancheria's new casino, denying us 700 new jobs and millions of dollars for our local economy? I think it's just plain sleazy politics. When was the last time you could buy your own road for $3,000? Who knows? You probably could have got $300,000. The land in question is a strip of roadway specifically intended to prevent commercial access for the casino. Whether you agree with the casino project or not, our city council knowingly broke the law. Don't take my word for it. We're fortunate to actually have a real lawyer on city council who voted no because he knew the city would face litigation. Litigation that we, the taxpayers of Reading, would have to pay, which could cost tens, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars to right a wrong. What did City Councilman DeQuista say?
Yeah. I'll say it. It's sleazy.
A vote for me, Mark Mazzano, on November 3rd is a vote for a new voice in Reading. Paid for by the committee to elect Mark B. Mazzano, council member, City of Reading.
Vote safe, vote early. In Shasta County, all active registered voters will receive a ballot in the mail. Voters in Shasta County have multiple safe ways to cast a ballot by Election Day on November 3rd. How to return your ballot is your choice. Starting October 5th, you can vote early in person, by mail, or by Dropbox. Remember, it is your vote, your choice. For more information, call the Elections Department at 225-5730 or go to ShastaVotes.org for safe voting options.
Are you tired of corporate-bought Sacramento politicians who don't have any idea what we need in the North State? So am I. That's why I'm running to be our state senator. My name is Pamela Swartz, and I'm your neighbor, not a politician. We've got wildfires burning down our towns and internet connections that don't exist or barely work, and we're stuck with self-serving career politicians. This has to stop. Vote for me, Pamela Swartz, for state senate.
Paid for by Pamela Swartz for state senate. ID number 142-3306.
Dr. Farrell in Palisadro is now making dental work more affordable by offering a Dental Discount Savings Plan annual membership. The Dental Discount Savings Plan is simple, straightforward, and includes 20% off all treatment, such as emergency limited exams, restorative work, fillings, crowns, partials, bridges, dentures, and periodontal treatment, a comprehensive exam, oral cancer screening, a TMJ exam, a periodic exam, and two sets of x-rays, along with cleaning and two fluoride treatments. The program is a discount plan, not a dental insurance plan, and is only available at the office of Dr. Farrell. The Dental Discount Savings Plan annual membership provides immediate eligibility. No yearly maximum, no deductibles, no claims to submit, no limitations for pre-existing treatment, and no waiting periods. Children on the plan must be 15 years or younger. Some restrictions apply. Membership prices may vary. Contact Dr. Farrell, located at 9461 Deschutes Road, Suite 2 in Palisadro. Call 547-57 to make an appointment today. That's 547-5757.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Free Fire Radio, it's a target-rich environment.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Carl Linda Bott. Linda's on assignment, as she has been every Tuesday for the last 8 years. Is that unusual? No. 605-4567 is our phone number. You can call in. But, you know, is there a proposition that you are just think is the worst idea in the whole world, like Proposition 25 that I'm going to talk about right now? My friends, do not listen to what I say as far as a yes or no vote. I am trying to bring out what it says in here and then and my opinion on it. But my opinion is worth the same as yours. Go to the voterguide.sos.ca.gov, and it'll show you every one of these propositions. Now, remember that the Secretary of State may have a dog in the fight by the way he writes these. And the, on the titles of them, Proposition 25, referendum on law that replaces money bail with system based on public safety and flight risk. Now, what this is a yes vote approves and a no vote rejects a law replacing money bail with a system based on public safety and flight risk. Fiscal impact, increased costs possibly in mid-hundreds of millions of dollars annually for a new process to release from jail prior to trial. However, it could be also lead to decreased county jail costs possibly in high tens of millions of dollars annually. Well, maybe. Now, what this is, and we did this during the COVID. Remember when they did away with bail and what that does? Yeah. Our jail went to 65% instead of its usual 95%. However, it turned people loose no matter what they did. It was without bail. A yes vote on this measure means no one would pay bail to be released from jail before trial. Instead, people would either be released automatically or based on the assessed risk of committing another crime or not appearing in court if released. No one would be charged fees as a condition of release. Well, how do they do that? Well, they do it through algorithms in a computer network. This is the same computer network that gives you the DMV, the EDD, which people, I hate to say it, they waited months, and maybe some still are waiting for their unemployment checks starting from last March. In fact, that system shut down for 2 weeks, if you remember, a couple weeks ago. On a Saturday, the governor just shut it down because they were hopelessly mired in, they were overwhelmed. They couldn't keep up with what they had, so they shut it down for 2 weeks to catch up. Now, imagine if you shut down the bail system for 2 weeks in the state of California. Well, we can't turn them loose, but we can't charge them money. I don't know what to do, so, you know. So what happens then? That's a yes vote means no more bail. A no vote means some people would continue to pay bail to be released from jail before trial. Other people could continue to be released without paying bail. They could do that. You know, the judge is one that says it. Fees may continue to be charged as a condition of release. You got to remember that Prop 25 was written by Sacramento politicians to take away every Californian's option to post bail. Excuse me. It replaces that right with a new discriminatory system of computer-generated profiling. That's exactly what it is. You're being profiled when you go in there. If you're arrested and you come up for your bail hearings. Not only that, it would put away a whole industry of over 8,000 people that work in the bail bond industry. And that 8,000 I got a couple years ago, it could be bigger now. It's going to cost taxpayers a lot of money. It could cost us hundreds of millions of dollars a year. So take a look at this. I'm thoroughly against Proposition 25, and I will vote no on that. I think that the bail system is applied to some people and not to others. I mean, you can go in there. Supposedly that you go in front of a group of judges, but you may not on this. It may just strictly be the computer. They put your name in. They've got your whole background, and then the computer says yes or no. I just don't think our computer system's up to that, and I think that that's wrong. So no on 25. Let me see. What else do we have here? Let's talk about, just for a second here, let's talk about doing away with the Electoral College. Two of our candidates have said, or our candidates on the Democratic side, have not said they would not pack the courts. Pack the court means you've got nine justices. So they would just say, okay, we've decided to make the Supreme Court 15 judges. And we're going to appoint...
Didn't they already try that in the 40s?
They tried... Franklin Delano Roosevelt tried that. And here is probably the most popular president, one of the most popular presidents of all time, right? Went for the third term. Everybody thought that was a great idea. He tried this and was slapped down hard by the people because they saw what it was. It was a blatant grab for power. And both Biden and Harris will not say they would not pack the courts. They would not add another five or six justices to the court that they themselves would name, which changes the whole dichotomy of the court.
How would they vote? Do they still think this is a good idea if Trump would won?
Of course not. They would not do it if Trump wins. Of course not. Now, the other thing they want to that they refuse to answer is the doing away with the filibuster. This is a horrible idea. The filibuster means is to break a filibuster, you got to get 60 votes. So what happens is the party not in power starts filibustering a bill, or it starts filibustering an appointment, or it starts doing certain things. You know, but they say to break it, you need 60 votes. They have not said that they would not do away with the filibuster. If you do away with the filibuster, now you've got 50-1. So if you have 50 senators that are Republican and 50 that are Democrat and a Democratic vice president, and they go down there and they vote to say, we're doing away with the filibustering. That means from now on, the majority can pass any law they want. Think about this, my friends. Any law they want. They want to change immigration. They want to open up the borders. They can put a bill out and vote on it. And that's what happens. We have open borders. They could do that. Either side could do that. If you have done away with the filibuster, do you like your rights under the Second Amendment, the First Amendment, any of the amendments? They can change that with a simple one vote can change everything in this country, just like that. Vice President Biden and Senator Harris, running on the Democratic ticket, have refused to say that they would not support that. And if the president doesn't support it, it's not going to happen. Because even if they voted in, if the Democrats took a majority in the Senate, they'd have to get that passed. And they've tried this before, and they did it on court judges, and it made it a simple up and down vote on court judges. That was with Harry Reid. It was called the nuclear option. Then the Republicans took over, and they said, "Fine, you want to make it a simple up and down on justices? We'll make it that way on Supreme Court justices also." And that's when you had Kavanaugh, Gorsuch, and you're going to get Barrett. Is going to be the next Supreme Court judge because the Democrats did away with that filibuster and needing 60 votes to get somebody on the Supreme Court. They just made it a simple up and down. Think about that, and think about it for either side. If the Republicans could do that and have a simple up or down vote, what would they do? Abortions? Gone. That would be it. They could just pass that law. Now, it would go up to the Supreme Court, and people would be fighting it. But this is just not a good idea, doing away with the filibuster. And packing the court is ridiculous anyway. Of course, these are just my opinions. And your opinions are worth just the same as mine. And I would love to have somebody come in and do that. Now, as far as Electoral College, and people go, well, wait a minute, why should look at California, we've got so many voters here, Electoral College, it should be by the number of people. It should be the number of people that vote. And the heck with the Electoral College, heck with New Jersey, or not New Jersey, but heck with South Dakota, North Dakota, Idaho, all of those states with smaller populations. Well, if you are for doing away with the Electoral College, then you should also be aware of it. What if it was the United States of Earth? And then the Chinese, with over a billion people, would tell us what to do without us having to say so. Think of it like that. Is that okay? We got to run. Simpson University is going to join us right after these messages and the news.
Breaking news this hour at townhall.com. I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. President Trump is back at the White House, downplaying the coronavirus. Here's correspondent Mike Grazzi.
Although still infectious with COVID-19, President Donald Trump returned to the White House Monday night after being treated since Friday at Walter Reed National Military Medical Center. Upon his return, Trump released a video statement via Twitter that immediately sparked new controversy.
Don't let it dominate your lives. Get out there. Be careful. We have the best medicines in the world.
The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention says those with mild to moderate symptoms of COVID-19 can be contagious for as many as 10 days, and they should isolate for at least that long. Mike Gracia, Washington.
Health officials, meanwhile, urging Americans to get a flu vaccine shot this month, hoping to avoid the possibility of two epidemics at the same time. Dr. John Lynch of the University of Washington Medical Center.
This year we're looking at potentially two epidemics going on at once. I think we're all used to seeing flu every year, and we don't know what's going to happen this year. We may see a lot. And the big problem we're facing is that COVID can look a lot like flu.
The 2020 Nobel Prize for Physics has been awarded to three scientists, including American Andrea Ghez, who says education is a top priority now.
I think today I feel more passionate about the teaching side of my job than I have ever, because it's so important to convince the younger generation that their ability to question and their ability to think is just crucial to the future of the world.
And Ghez was awarded the prize along with Briton Roger Penrose and German Reinhard Genzel. It's been a mixed bag so far in early trading on Wall Street. Right now, the Dow Jones Industrial Average is up close to 100 points. NASDAQ struggling a bit. It's down by about 15. More on these stories at townhall.com.
If you're in HR, you're probably wearing a lot of hats. Recruiter, team builder, trainer, mediator, policymaker, and of course, paper pusher. But not anymore. Bamboo HR is the number one HR software for small and medium businesses. It manages all your employee data easily and automates countless tasks so you can focus on people, not paperwork. Bamboo HR frees you from spreadsheets so you can do your real job, creating a great place to work. If the data shuffle and paperwork mountain have you ready to hang up all your hats, you're ready for Bamboo. If you handle HR records and paperwork, Bamboo HR is a dream. Let us free up your time and put your days of pushing paperwork behind you so you can focus on the people and making your company a great place to work for everyone. Try PC Magazine's top pick for HR software free today. Just go to bamboohr.com/trial. This is a limited offer only available to radio listeners at bamboohr.com/trial. That's bamboohr.com/trial.
Antivirus software entrepreneur, I should say, John McAfee, has been arrested in Spain, now facing extradition back to the U.S., where he's been charged with tax evasion. Here's the BBC's Theo Lake.
John McAfee is best known as the founder of the software security company that bears his name, although during a colourful career he's also been involved in many other technology businesses and has twice sought nominations to run for the U.S. presidency as a libertarian. He was arrested at Barcelona Airport and now faces possible extradition to the United States. He's been charged by the Department of Justice with failing to file tax returns from 2014 to 2018, despite earning considerable sums from consulting work, speaking engagements, and promoting cryptocurrencies.
That is the BBC's Theo Leggett reporting. British Prime Minister Boris Johnson is pledging that every home in the country will be powered by offshore wind within 10 years. Breaking news at townhall.com. The United Nations says the number of people impacted by seasonal flooding in East Africa has increased sixfold over the past 5 years.
In 2016, just over 1 million people were affected by flooding. This means their homes or businesses were damaged or they had to seek refuge. This year, that figure is already close to 6 million. That's even before the short rains, which peak in November and hit most countries in East Africa. Nearly all states in Sudan have experienced record flooding since July. It's the same in parts of Ethiopia and South Sudan. Scientists increasingly believe the warming of the Indian Ocean is driving increased rainfall.
That is BBC's Catherine Barahanga reporting. Tropical storm Delta rapidly strengthening into a hurricane now in the Caribbean, aiming to hit Mexico's Yucatan Peninsula, potentially as a major storm before striking the U.S. Gulf Coast. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning and welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR, 96.5 FM at 1460 AM, your talk radio. Celebrating over 10 years on the air. We're starting the 11th here in December. Phone lines here, 605-4567. We're streaming live throughout the world at KCNR1460.com. Ashley's at the helm. Carl morning. And Linda Bott. Linda is on assignment today, as she has been on every Tuesday for the last 8 years. I don't know if I should just continue to mention that, but I do, because it says Carl and Linda Bott. Ashley, good morning there.
Good morning.
What's it look like for weather and fire update?
So we are looking at 48 degrees out at the airport today. So we're getting a couple of different reports from around anywhere between 48 and 58 degrees, but a rather cold morning all the way across. We're looking at smoke for today with a high of 93, going down to 54 overnight, and then things will start to clear up by Thursday. And rain is now likely by Saturday. So we are hoping to see some of those clearer skies between the chances of showers. The moisture should help clear out a lot of the smoke. I just got an update from the Shasta Trinity Fire Unit, who is working on the Zog Fire. They are transitioning to a mop-up phase. That means that they are working to make it, it's the end of the fire, more or less. They're sending a lot of those resources away.
Probably heading south.
Yep, probably. August Complex did break into Shasta County yesterday, so... That's the one that broke 1 million acres, and that's in, like, 7 different counties or something like that.
It's 1 million acres?
Yeah.
Wow.
So,
well, I've already talked about the state and doing their job. Mm-hmm. So in the first 10 minutes of the show, I won't go back into that again, except Governor Newsom, do your job. Okay. About cleaning up these forests.
It is also National Noodle Day, which is important information.
Well, mm-hmm. It always has been. Mm-hmm. I'm still waiting. I missed Beer Day. But there's got to be a National Tequila Day, right?
Yeah, I think it's in May. Let me look.
Oh, well, let's see. I lost that one, too. I have to wait till next year. All right. Thank you. Hey, the weather and the fire updates are brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. Shasta Gas Propane, a locally owned, veteran-owned business that gives discounts. For seniors and veterans, give them a call at 365-3793. I'm here with Dr. Norm Hall, of course, president of Simpson University, and he's brought a bunch of younger people in here. Student athletes,
younger, smarter, faster, better looking.
Yeah, just kind of like the Marine Corps.
That's right. Know,
found out that they're younger, faster, bigger, stronger, and they know how to run a computer if they have to, and shoot. Okay, you're in season now. I mean, you've been back in class at
September
Simpson
7th.
Since September 7th. What does that look like?
I think it's going quite well. We're very fortunate that we're able to open, as you know, compared to many, many, many schools in the state. And, of course, you would expect lots of masks, lots of temperature checks, reduced density in classrooms and eating areas and routine tests, COVID tests spread over the months. Heck, Susanna might be able to tell better than me. Our student body president is here. How often have you been asked to have the official test?
The COVID test?
Uh-huh.
So once before I came to campus, I had to come with a negative test, and then once within the first week of school.
Well, when I drove on campus the other day, I was stopped at the gate by a very pleasant guard, heavily armed. He's a very pleasant guy, and I had my mask on.
I think he had a donut.
He might have had a donut. And excuse the cough. I'm sure that this will be over. I just got out of the hospital. Okay. But he took my temperature.
Yeah.
To make sure I didn't have a temperature. And then I went in onto campus. So everybody that comes onto campus just doesn't come on willy-nilly. They are checked right there at the gate.
Right.
Now, Record Searchlight had an article saying is that increase in the COVID cases, and they laid it off on Bethel's School of Supernatural Ministry, but they also mentioned Simpson.
Mm-hmm.
So what's that look like out there? Because over at Chico State, it seemed like they exploded over at Chico State.
Well, the numbers are pretty fresh. We've had 11 cases, and three of those are long past, already cleared. And then, much like the county, we've had a few more recently. And all but three have been local. So the notion that folks are coming in from out of state, punching the numbers up with higher ed, wouldn't be accurate with us. We have had three that traveled some distance to be with us. But, our protocols are working so well because all of the new... You see, all but one of the new students we already had in what we call a shelter-in-place, where they were already self-quarantining because they had a sore throat or didn't feel well. So we feel like this is a bit of a new normal. We don't have giant numbers. Nonetheless, with the governor announcing that Shasta County announced that we would likely go to Code Red, I put out a memo last night telling everybody we would reduce density in classrooms. Athletes would be wearing masks even at practice. Carl, we're not messing around with this. We have a great opportunity. We're going to do it right.
Well, you know, dissemination here is I'm on the Simpson University Citizens Advisory Panel, along with many others, including Mike Mangus and police and other business owners around here. And we got this was one of the main topics we talked about in our meeting. We have a quarterly meeting, and it was last Tuesday, I think, about a week ago. And this is one of the things we talked about. Because of bringing, your student body has increased, and so, which is good news.
That's right.
A Christian university actually increasing their numbers.
3 years in a row.
While others are dropping and some going out of business. But let me ask Susanna. This is Susanna Talley. She's the Simpson Student Body President. Good morning and congratulations.
Thank you. Good morning.
You are, your major is communications.
Psychology.
Oh, psychology. I'm looking at the wrong one here. It's, you're from Watsonville.
Mm-hmm.
You're a junior and psychology. Is that why you think that has something to do with becoming president?
That's a good question. I think psychology, most of the students in that major, they just want to help people, and that's what we always say. Psychology is a helping major, and student body president definitely allows me to step into that role of helping others and being an advocate for them.
Well, what are you telling your fellow students about COVID?
I think the most important thing that I'm trying to stress is that we do have an opportunity here at Simpson to stay open. And so the only way that we're going to be able to do that is if we do take it seriously. And as student leaders, it's really important for us to set an example, not going out of the county and always wearing our masks when we're inside, because other students are looking to us as student leaders. So it's really important to set forth that example.
Yes, they are wearing, by the way, they're wearing masks in the studios today. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So somebody asked that question. Yes, they are. The COVID, let me ask Tom. Tom Higdon is also Simpson. He's a senior from Simpson. He's the swimming team captain.
Yep.
Are you going to find that a little difficult to swim with the mask?
Yeah,
We actually just take it off at the very last minute.
At the last minute, when they say take your marks,
yeah,
the mask is thrown behind you and into the
right
water.
In.
You go,
yep.
They have to get that extra second to get rid of the mask.
Exactly, exactly.
How does this impact on student athletes? Because, you know, you've got to work out. You've got to work
right.
out. Good athletes on teams at the college levels are working out
yeah.
all year long. What kind of impact has this had?
It's different. It's definitely a change. We've had to make adjustments, but the plan, at least from a swim team perspective, the plan is always the same regardless of the environment. You know, it's always we're going to work hard and then we're going to swim fast. And that doesn't change regardless of what we're wearing when we work out. It really is not a problem for us. It's something that we've taken in stride, I think. And I think the rest of the teams on campus as well have taken in stride because they all want to work hard. They all want to do what they came here to do.
Mm-hmm. And while swimming is a team sport at the college level and, of course, others, but it's really an individual sport also.
Mm-hmm.
So that you can do a lot of your training by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't rely on being able to hand off the baton to somebody where you have to practice that way.
Now, right.
There are relays, but, again, you're separated.
Yeah.
Like that. What's your feeling? What are the? And you mentioned it already, Susanna, about how important it is to have the university open for person-to-person classes.
Mm-hmm.
And the students appreciate this.
Yeah. So your question, how is it important to have in-class?
Yeah.
So I think my university experience thus far has been so valuable because of the relationships that I've built, both with my peers and my professors. And you can't have the same relationship over Zoom. It's just not possible. So the fact that we're in person is incredible, and we're very grateful. And, getting instruction from professors in person is just so different than online remote.
I can tell you that my granddaughter is starting a nursing program down at New Mexico State. She loves going to, this is her first year, she loves going to the university experience. However, every one of her classes is by Zoom.
Mm-hmm.
Luckily, her cohort of nursing students all happen to be in this dorm that she's in, a lot of them even on the same floor. So they have that, you know, that they can discuss. But, yeah, it's tough.
It's not quite the same as going to class, right?
We have to take a break. When we come back, I want to ask President Hall, Doctor, how have you all dodged the bullet on this one?
Okay. We'll be ready.
This portion of the show brought to you by Home Helpers, Reading Home Helpers. Are your loved ones needing extra help now? Either through aging, how about, they started the hip and shoulder operations, hip and knee operations, so they may need some help around the house. Well, Home Helpers started right here in Redding, California, by Sharon Clark, Redding Home Helpers, 17 years ago, has been helping people for that long. She is expanding her business. She needs amazing people that want to come in and help others, whether it's full-time or part-time. You can give her a call at 226-8350 and say, hey, you're interested in this, and I'd like to have some more information, or check it out at readinghomehelpers.com. Remember, there's no place like home. People are the happiest at home. They get better at home and not in another facility. Reading Home Helpers. We'll be right back with Dr. Hall and Simpson University.
Recently, my very good friend, Reverge Anselmo, donated a very large amount of money to my campaign. In fact, history-making. Anselmo came to this county a few years ago with one thing in mind, to spare no expense and build the finest restaurant and winery. But after the county resource manager consistently harassed him, embarrassed him, and overregulated him to the point he left this county never to return. I can't do anything for Mr. Anselmo now, but I vow to stop this type of corruption from happening to others. I'm Patrick Henry Jones, and yes, I'll spend every penny of that donation, paid for by the committee to elect Patrick Henry Jones. Supervisor District 4.
Did you know that every day in the state of California, 10,000 people turn 65 years old? Yep, 10,000 every day. And the resources needed to allow you or your senior parents to be happy and healthy during these special years can be complicated at best. So where do you begin to find the local resources you may need? ReadingSeniorSource.com. This is an online senior resource directory which will connect you with everything from Medicare supplemental insurance assistance,
senior transportation, estate planning attorneys, home care agencies, assisted living communities, and hundreds more. This directory has been a labor of love created by me, Mary Ann Seifert, owner of Mary Ann Senior Placement Services. I have over two decades of experience assisting seniors in our community and saw a need for resources to be accessible by everyone. Just go to ReadingSeniorSource.com. That's ReadingSeniorSource.com.
When I see our current representatives taking money from special interests, I'm not shocked. When they get nothing done for us, I'm not surprised because they're taking care of their donors. I'm Pamela Swartz, and I'm running for California State Senate. I grew up in Reading. I'm a small business owner living right here in the North State. I don't take money from corporations. I'm running to represent us, not big money. On November 3rd, vote for me, Pamela Swartz, for State Senate.
Paid for by Pamela Swartz for State Senate. ID number 142-3306.
They're at it again. Yet another attempt to add more government bureaucracy to healthcare. This time it's Proposition 23. 23 is funded by one labor union that's pushing their own political agenda. In doing so, this labor union is risking the lives of 80,000 dialysis patients. 23 is dangerous for patients, and 23 is costly for taxpayers. 23's bureaucratic requirements would increase healthcare costs by hundreds of millions of dollars every year. 23 will mean higher insurance premiums and higher taxes for everyone. That's Prop 23, the dangerous and costly dialysis proposition. Join the California Medical Association and the American Nurses Association California in voting no on 23.
At Paid For By No on 23, stop the dangerous and costly dialysis proposition. A coalition of dialysis providers, nurses, doctors, and patients. Committee major funding from DaVita and Fresenius Medical Care.
Paid for by Adam McElvain for Reading City Council 2020. Hi, I'm Adam McElvain, Mayor of Reading, and I'm running for re-election to the Reading City Council. I am a father, husband, veteran, business owner, Simpson graduate, and our current mayor. I started attending council meetings in 2006 and served as a city commissioner for over 7 years before winning a seat on the council in 2016. I have kept all the promises I made to you 4 years ago and want to continue that good work. Our police department is stronger, faster, and more well-trained. Total crimes have dropped every year and response times to emergency calls have dropped significantly. Our fire department is the biggest it's been in our city's history, and we are far better prepared to fight wildfires. Also, due to the help of streamlined policies and reduced fees, our city is experiencing investment not seen in a generation. I would be honored to serve you for 4 more years and ask for your vote on November 3rd for Reading City Council.
If it's someone who has something to say about the North State, you'll hear it here.
I can social distance, I'll be free someday from staying in my home. I know all the while people persevere.
Welcome back. The Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM Talk Radio. You know, we could play these all day because there are brilliant people out there that have taken regular songs and just written COVID. Little ditties about them. Good morning, everybody. 8:22 in the morning here on the 6th of October. 58 degrees out there. Smoky. Going to go up to 93 today. Weather reports brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. And Maxwell Insurance and Financial is bringing you the segment. Judy was on last Monday and told us all of the problems that people are running into with fire insurance. You may think you can't get fire insurance, but there is a state program that will insure your home from the outside, but not the inside. So if wildfire hits your home, you're covered for the structure, but nothing inside. If the fire starts inside your house because you're making fried chicken and it got away from you, you're on your own on that one. But there's so much information about that. And now the open enrollment for health care. Give Judy Maxwell a call at 221-0441. Find out the truth. She's been doing this since 1993. She is there to help you. Maxwell Insurance and Financial, located at 1378 Hilltop Drive. I'm here with Dr. Norm Hall, president of Simpson University, and Susanna Talley, who is the Simpson student body president at an early age, not a senior, but a junior, and Tom Higdon, who is a Simpson student athlete, the swimming team captain. He's a senior from Rancho Cordova. His major is communications, and I'm trying to recruit him for our man on the street here on Fridays. We may have a new man on the street here. Dr. Hall, how did Simpson, with everything else that's going on, all these universities, I mean, they're shutting down universities in the South, major universities.
Mm-hmm.
How'd you all dodge the bullet here? How did you not just increase your numbers, mm-hmm. which I like to hear about, how do you increase your numbers, but also the fact is that people are following the directions and you're keeping this well under control.
Well, a big win there is that we're in Shasta County. We're Shasta County people, as you've heard me say before, are pretty awesome. And I had no idea what a great place I was moving to a few years ago. So we started with a great county that has taken it seriously and been wise about decisions. And then when we invited students to come to campus, they had to show up with a negative test, a verified negative test. And then people said, well, hey, wait a minute. What if they got it from the gas station on the way to campus? That's all right. We had everybody test the first week. We brought in an official health testing agency that offered two kinds of testing. And then we have lots of great guidance from Shasta County Health. And we have great students who are taking it seriously, wearing their mask, distancing in the cafeteria, not having parties. And we're continuing to stay the course, and we're excited about that. So it's different, but I think we dodged the bullet because we had good guidance. Certainly God has been, we've prayed a lot, and we've been blessed, frankly.
Well, you know what, not only are you just holding the line,
mm-hmm.
which a lot of universities would just love to hold the line right now, you've actually expanded and you launched a new STEM curriculum.
We did. We started to...
and for people that don't know what STEM stands for?
Science, technology, education, mathematics. I think that's what it is. I'll have to think about it.
Engineering.
Mathematics. Engineering. Oh, thank you. A voice from above. Where did that come from?
The engineer.
That's right.
The engineer who is also the student body president, you know.
That's right. That's right.
Don't argue.
So we have 39 new students in computer information systems, 8 in digital media, and 14 in engineering. So we have, we opened this year 27 traditional undergraduate students ahead. Our master's in counseling psychology has grown. Our master's in organizational leadership has grown. Literally every program has grown except for Tozer Seminary, and they're in a restart phase right now, so we expect them to grow next year.
Well, your nursing, I have to say this because my granddaughter's in nursing, starting her nursing program at New Mexico State,
mm-hmm.
and I did talk to her about this, but her parents said she's 3 hours away.
Uh-huh.
And that was kind of a big one for the whole
That's
family.
That's too bad.
Yeah, well, hey. Your nursing school is rated in the top 10 and has been.
Number 7 out of 140 in California.
Simpson is number 10. Now, one of the things we had a briefing on was that the ability to do their labs, I don't know if you call it labs, but where they go out and they work with the local hospitals and all this, too, including the VA.
That's another fortunate win for us because we're in a county that has good scores and they've been vigilant. The hospitals have been permitted to work with our students to go and do their clinicals. So we're very fortunate again.
Clinicals, that's what it was, not labs.
That's okay.
One of the things I really, when I went through the tour there, you've got, I hate to call them mannequins, because when you think of mannequins, you think of something standing in the in the window. You've got, what do you call them? They're like little humans, but they're made of plastic, and they talk to you. They bleed. They scream. They emit bad odors.
They do everything.
They do it all. Yeah,
and they're very, very, very expensive. We've been very fortunate to have those. And I'm not thinking of the right word right now, but it's like
robotic. It's a robotic system.
That's right.
That you can put as many things wrong with it as possible working through the computer.
Right.
So what it does, it really tests a nurse to be able, okay, we're having this happen. Okay, that's easy. And then something else happens. Then
that's
something
right.
else happens.
That's
then,
right.
Then the patient starts screaming. I mean,
that's
these
right.
are things that puts them under a close, it's as close as they can get to the real thing.
I like the story one of our nurses tells where they have a checklist of things that they test on any person coming in. And she says, you know, the students are testing the pulse, and then they test for blood pressure, and then they say, oh my goodness, the person is not breathing, and that's a real problem. And then they have to go into real action. And the way I understand it is it's so real that the students' anxiety, blood pressure, and heart rate go up pretty quickly, too.
Oh, I imagine.
Apparently, we even have one that gives birth. I don't know if that's...
No, I haven't seen it. No, I've heard that one, too.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I could get in there because we have, you know, we have our combat first aid training.
Oh, right? Yeah.
Unfortunately, the first thing I do is slap a tourniquet on somebody, and then we go for you know, check the breathing, stop
right,
the bleeding,
right, right,
that kind
right,
of thing. But
right.
yeah, but we don't need a tourniquet. No. We always need a tourniquet. More, it's kind of like cowbell.
Yeah,
more tourniquet. We've got to take a quick break here with Dr. Norm Haugh and Susanna Talley, who is the president of Simpson, and Tom Higdon, who is the swimming team captain. You know, quickly before we leave, Susanna, the leader junior this year, mm-hmm. What do you plan on doing when you leave?
I want to pursue my master's in either social work or school counseling. I'm not sure which. I might get some work experience first. We'll see.
Okay. Yeah. And Tom, you're in the communication side. What do you want to do with that?
Definitely. I'm hoping to go into public relations, something like that in the private sector. I'm hoping to work for a nonprofit back in my hometown, preferably with young youth and athletics. Something to do with that. I'll probably swim a little while longer, too.
So the swim team has done pretty well.
Yeah, we've done all right. Last year I was the runner-up in the 100-yard breast at Nationals, fifth place in the 200 breast. We had a freshman that scored points at Nationals, top 16 in the nation. And we're looking to do a lot better this year as well. We had a lot of recruits come in that are really going to add to our dynamic.
And Dr. Haugh, you started so many of these teams once you got here. And, of course, the one that's just kicking butt everywhere is the bass fishing team.
If we could just combine swimming and fishing, wouldn't
yeah,
that be
how
great?
How can we do that? But you started swimming, women's wrestling. Your basketball team is taking – I mean, you've got people playing here from all – literally, it's an international team.
Around the world, that's right.
But you've started a number of athletic teams. Mm-hmm. Why did you do that?
Well, the bottom line, Carl, is that students want a whole experience when they come to college now. And if they want to go, if they just want to get a degree, they have lots of opportunities, online universities, community colleges, and so on. But if they want a whole experience, most of those students want a strong co-curriculum. So we started the co-curriculum growth with women's wrestling, men's volleyball, track and field, swimming and diving, and then, of course, bass fishing. And you see in the headlines, you know, students want to be involved in polishing their life skills on the field, on the boat, and in the classroom. And so I think that's very attractive to students, and that was part of our priority planning as we attempt to grow.
Okay. Thanks. Hey, no, you need that. You need to have, you know, you need to offer the students something else just besides a great education, but
that's
a chance
right.
to excel in ways that they can express themselves.
And we know that people are healthier when they have really stringent academics and then they have an outlet for fun. So that's what we do.
Okay. All right. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to be right back after these messages.
Thanks, Carl.
Okay. This is our life. So no one told me it was gonna be this way. You start to get annoyed at everything I say. You say my chewing is the worst to hear. And it's me and you all day, all week, all month, or maybe all year. 'Cause I'm stuck here with you. And we fight.
Reading Rancheria. We are proud to play our part in the community. This is Tracy Edwards, CEO of Reading Rancheria.
Since the Community Fund was established, over $3.5 million in grants have been awarded to our local nonprofit organizations. We are dedicated to supporting worthy causes in our region and help make possible the impactful work done by our local nonprofits, and will continue to do so during these changing times. Reading Rancheria, proud to play our part.
Medicare open enrollment is October 15th through December 7th. Help keep your drug costs low by reviewing your plan for the following year. Remember, Medicare plans can change each year. PSA2 Health Insurance Counseling Advocacy Program HICAP services are free and include individual counseling and assistance as well as community education services. PSA2 HICAP services does not sell, endorse, or recommend any specific insurance product. PSA2 HICAP is your trusted source for Medicare information. Call PSA2 HICAP services for more information. 530-223-09 or 1-800-434-0222. That's 530-223-0999 or 1-800-434-0222.
This project was supported in part by grant number 90S APG 009-40100 from the U.S. Administration for Community Living, Department of Health and Human Services, Washington, D.C. 20201. Grantees undertaking projects under government sponsorship are encouraged to express freely their findings and conclusions. Points of view or opinions do not, therefore, necessarily represent official Administration for Community Living policy.
The Reading Chamber of Commerce believes that the health of business is the most important factor in a strong, vibrant community. This is Jake Mangus, Chamber President and CEO. We work closely with local elected officials to ensure their policy decisions take into account the business perspective. That's why the Chamber puts its name behind candidates representing our community that best exemplify what our members care about. I'm pleased to announce the Chamber's local ticket for the upcoming election. The Chamber's Board of Directors gives its full endorsement to Assemblywoman Megan Dolly for re-election in California's 1st Assembly District. At the county level, the Chamber supports Supervisor Steve Morgan for re-election in District 4. And in the city of Reading, the Chamber supports Mayor Adam McElvain and former Mayor Julie Winter for City Council. Say it with me, Dolly, Morgan, McElvain, Winter. Help us re-elect this slate of business-friendly candidates by casting your ballot this fall. This ad was not authorized by a candidate or a committee controlling the candidate, paid for by the Reading Chamber Political Action Committee.
There they go again. Labor unions and Sacramento politicians are targeting rideshare and food delivery drivers. They passed a law, and they've sued in court to take away the right of drivers to be independent contractors. It's just another power grab by Sacramento politicians. That's why we need Prop 22. Yes on 22 protects the right of Californians to work as independent contractors. Yes on 22 protects hundreds of thousands of jobs. Yes on 22 protects rideshare and delivery services millions depend on. Yes on 22 is supported by the overwhelming majority of drivers and the California Taxpayers Association, the California Small Business Association, and the California Peace Officers Association. Vote yes on 22. Ad paid for by Yes on 22. Save app-based jobs and services. A coalition of on-demand drivers and platforms. Small businesses, public safety, and community organizations. Committee major funding from Uber Technologies, Lyft, and DoorDash.
You can take us with you anytime, anywhere. Live with our streaming audio feed at KCNR1460.com.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Good morning. 57 degrees out there. It's going to go up to 93 today. It's smoky. Perhaps some rain later on in the week, which will take down that smoke. Weather reports brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. You can give them a call at 365-3793. Discounts for seniors and veterans. In River Commons, Senior Living is bringing us this segment. The premier retirement community in Northern California. Gourmet chefs, activity directors. This is not an assisted living facility. This is for people that want to have in their senior years not have to worry about things like finding toilet paper or paper towels. They have weekly cleaning services inside your home, inside River Commons. They are very pet friendly. But to learn more, give Brian a call at 238-5981. River Commons Senior Living. Worry less, smile more. Well, we're here with Simpson University today, and I kicked out Dr. Hall. I can't see your face, but I see your eyes smiling here. Okay. And I'm here with Ariana Hernandez. She is a junior from Spain, and she is her major is business, but she's on the golf team. Yeah. And then also Pablo Ortega who is a sophomore from also from Spain. He's getting a business degree in accounting and is a swimmer. He's on the swim team. And then Sofia De Pablos, who is a junior from Mexico and is studying kinesiology and is a soccer player. So I've got to ask this here. You're from different countries. And so, Ariana, why did you pick Simpson?
Well, so I always wanted to go to college in the United States so I could keep playing golf while I was studying my major. So I always knew I wanted to come. So started the process of looking for schools. And after a while looking, Simpson gave me a scholarship, started looking into it. And after kind of talking with my parents and seeing how Simpson was, the mission that Simpson has, and the community that Simpson brings, I made the decision that that's where I wanted to be. So that's how I ended up with
Simpson.
And
how long have you been at Simpson?
3 years now.
3 years. So yeah. Obviously you made the right decision then.
Yeah, I stayed.
Yeah, so. You did. Well, that's it. You know what? People can vote with their feet. And we lose. Mostly you lose as freshmen that first year because for a variety of really weird reasons. One, they're too far from home. One that I found really interesting, they didn't like their roommate. Isn't it? You know, my daughter just started, my granddaughter just started college this year too. But she went with her own roommate, so that makes things easier. What's your handicap?
Well, I used to be handicapped 5 before coming here, but since I came here, I haven't been keeping track of it.
Well, 5?
Yeah.
I have a 2 handicap.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, my left 2. My right hand and my left hand. That's a 2. Because little joke. I've probably heard it 1,000 times.
Yeah.
Okay, let's go to Sofia. You are from Mexico. What part of Mexico are you from, Sofia?
I'm from Cancun.
Well, just a little bit of difference between Cancun and Reading?
Of course. A little bit.
A little bit. Okay, and you're a soccer player.
Yeah. I play, my freshman year, I play forward, and now I'm playing center back, like opposite, but yeah, I like it.
In kinesiology. Now, what is kinesiology?
It's the movement of, like, the body. So I'm working with people that want to be, how do you say it? Like, I want to be athletic trainer.
Okay.
So I want to be around athletes and help them with the injuries. Mm-hmm. So basically it's...
We have a close family friend. Their son is just got his degree. He wants to become a trainer also. So and he got it in kinesiology.
Yeah, so, that's my goal. So.
Okay. And then Pablo, the you're from what part of Spain?
My city is called Valladolid, but it's just near Madrid. It's about 2 or 3 hours away by car.
Okay. And you're on the swim team.
I am, yeah.
And you've been going, how long have you been coming to Simpson?
So this is actually my second year. I'm a sophomore now.
So how are you doing on the swim team?
We're doing great. Just like Tom said, last year we were pretty strong, even though we had some people that were not eligible. We got a lot of people this year, so I think we can even place top 3 in the relays.
Great.
Nationals.
Okay, why did you come to Simpson? I mean, Spain, which is a beautiful country. Oh, my gosh.
So,
this is one of the places that my wife and I would love to go over and spend a couple of weeks, and that's not enough time, but at least a couple of weeks in Spain because it is so beautiful.
Well,
we've been to Cancun. Yes. Okay.
Well, I actually did my junior and senior year of high school here in America, in California, and I fell in love with California. It's just great. You have beautiful views. The people is great. I love how the education system works here in America. It's very different from what we have in Spain. I wanted to keep swimming just like her, and I wanted to keep with her golfing. And we don't have that opportunity in Spain. We don't have sports in college. So I thought that staying in America was a great option. Since university, my coach Steve contacted me. I did a little bit of research. I saw how the community was. I love the small ratio that we have. You get to know your professors, and your professors get to know you. So I think that's a great asset for you to have because you learn more.
I think you do, too. You know, you'll see in some universities you'll have 400 people in a class, and then you're broken down into smaller classes usually taught by a graduate student. But at Simpson,
Yeah, but
you've got those small classes.
Yeah, and definitely my coach was one of the deficient points. He was a great friendly guy, and that's how really all the staff at Simpson is. He's really friendly and great to help you.
So, Sophia, what do you like best about Simpson?
I think I love the community, and the same as Pablo, I like to have like close contact with my professor. So, yeah.
Okay, so Ariana, what do you see as being graduating from Simpson? What's that going to give you? Because you are a junior. So you're looking at you've been this your third year, so you've got one more. Mm-hmm. So what do you think Simpson offers to you?
Well, I think it has offered me a lot of growth as a person. I think I have learned a lot, just not related to my major. I have made really good relationships there, and I have met a lot of people that have, like, helped me to get to mm-hmm. what I am right now. And I feel Simpson has I will not say changing me as a person, because I'm still the same person that came 3 years ago, but it has definitely, like, helped me grow as a student, as a person, and as an athlete. So.
Now, you said something, Pablo. You said it's the education in the universities is different here. What is the biggest difference between Spain and, well, I won't say just Simpson, but colleges here in the United States?
Well, from experience between Spain and the United States, I can say that the biggest difference will be that we don't have sports. So if you want to be an athlete, it's going to be tough for you to keep up with your studies because it's all club. So we don't have a chance of really keep training and stuff.
So you don't have, like, athletic teams?
No, not in
school. Oh, I see.
School.
So they're like club teams.
It's just club,
My
yeah.
granddaughter played in soccer club teams. Sometimes she was, like, 8. So I understand that concept, and you have to pay for that, and all that comes out of you, as opposed to having a coach and the facilities and all this.
Yes, yeah, so you don't have scholarships either because there's no sports, right? So,
okay.
And then also, I feel like in the United States, you get to do more research and projects. In Spain, it's more like just studying and then kind of like just doing the test, and that's your final grade. I feel like in America, you do more research and projects, so that helps you develop more yourself and get to know the subject a little bit better and just the feel.
So, Sophia.
Yeah.
I mean, you're from Mexico. You're from Cancun, which most everybody knows about Cancun being a great place to visit. And you live there. And so coming to Reading must have been a big change.
Yeah, it was a big change. But, I mean, I like it. I really love it. I was my freshman year, I was in love with Reading because of the views, obviously the mountains, the hikes. I really like hikes. So
there's plenty of places to hike around Northern California.
Yeah.
Well, hey, thank you all so much for coming on today. And I hope they had told, I don't know if they did, but, because we stream the show, so your families could have been listening to you right now. And if not, they can come on to the archives and listen to with the great answers you all gave. So, we are a better community because of you three. It sounds like. I'm glad that you like it here. I really do. And thank you for being on the show today. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to be right back after these messages.
Jump in the pool, jump in the pool. I looked at you, I knew you wanted to. Jump in the pool, jump in the pool.
Career politicians in Sacramento are holding fancy fundraisers with rich donors and are too busy to pay attention to us. We deserve housing we can afford, quality education, healthcare, and jobs that support our families. I'm Pamela Swartz, and I'm running for state senate. I grew up in Reading. I'm your neighbor, not a politician. Vote for me, Pamela Swartz, and I'll work for jobs and investment in our district, and not for big money donors.
Paid for by Pamela Swartz for state senate. ID number 1423306.
Paid for by Adam McElvain for Reading City Council 2020. Hi, I'm Adam McElvain, mayor of Reading, and I'm running for re-election to the Reading City Council. I am a father, husband, veteran, business owner, Simpson graduate, and our current mayor. I started attending council meetings in 2006 and served as a city commissioner for over 7 years before winning a seat on the council in 2016. I have kept all the promises I made to you 4 years ago and want to continue that good work. Our police department is stronger, faster, and more well-trained. Total crimes have dropped every year, and response times to emergency calls have dropped significantly. Our fire department is the biggest it's been in our city's history, and we are far better prepared to fight wildfires. Also, due to the help of streamlined policies and reduced fees, our city is experiencing investment not seen in a generation. I would be honored to serve you for 4 more years and ask for your vote on November 3rd for Reading City Council.
Vote safe, vote early. In Shasta County, all active registered voters will receive a ballot in the mail. Voters in Shasta County have multiple safe ways to cast a ballot by Election Day on November 3rd. How to return your ballot is your choice. Starting October 5th, you can vote early in person, by mail, or by Dropbox. Remember, it is your vote, your choice. For more information, call the Elections Department at 225-5730 or go to ShastaVotes.org for safe voting options.
This is Reading Electric Utility Director Dan Beans. REU is proud to be part of the economic relief to our customers during this difficult time. All REU customers are receiving $250 in credits on their City of Reading utility accounts. In the near future, commercial customers will have the ability to make monthly payments on their outstanding utility account balance for up to 24 months with no interest. REU and the Chamber of Commerce are proud to work together to assist commercial customers as we move forward. Visit readingchamber.com or cityofreading.org for more information or questions related to this important local effort.
Remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio? There's a lot of choices, but only one leader, Estate Granite.
Mike Huber has such a professional attitude and a can-do work ethic that makes him a joy to work with. Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days. We came back to a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Salato, broker and co-owner of The Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, the bathrooms have been renovated, granite, beautiful cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft. Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard or visit us at EstateGranite.com.
Hear us streaming 24/7 at KCNR1460.com.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Phone lines here are 605-4567. We're streaming live at KCNR1460.com. 8:51 in the morning, 57 degrees out there. The Zog Fire is in the cleanup stages, from what I understand. Over 80% contained, which means now they're just putting out the fires, keeping it contained, and they're going to be sending probably 1,000 people away down to other fires, because we had close to 2,000 people fighting it. And that's really, really, really good news. The other thing I want to mention is tomorrow night is the vice presidential debate between Vice President Pence from the Republican Party and Senator Kamala Harris from the Democratic Party. I think this is going to be an important one, because you may be listening to the next president of the United States in the next couple of years. On either side. So it might be interesting to listen to this. This portion of the show brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Shasta Regional Medical Center is one of the highest rated hospitals by the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, receiving 4 out of 5 stars in specifically targeted categories, including heart attacks, emergency care, heart failure, stroke, surgical complications. Means they don't have a lot of surgical complications over at Shasta Regional Medical Center. Healing starts there. I'm back with Dr. Norm Haugh and Pam Shalaw, who is their kind of special events. What is your title, Pam?
Director of Corporate Relations and Major Guest.
And Major Guest. Great. And, of course, Dr. Norm Haugh.
Hey.
Dr. Haugh, you know what? That series of students that you had that were just in here were quite the group.
They're a lot of fun.
They are. I mean, they love it here.
They sure do.
Are most of your international students athletes?
I would say yes, probably 90%.
About 90%. Okay. They've been here for they talked about the differences between their schools in Spain mm-hmm. and here. More facilities, more ability to learn and to research.
And they have a small student-teacher ratio here, so they get to know their faculty. And
was the big one for all three of them.
And they didn't say this, but I know that all of them appreciate our faith integration.
Well, that's...
which is illegal in a lot of countries.
Oh.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that.
Sure. If you go to Brazil, even the Universidade Metodista, which is a Methodist university, still is not allowed by federal government to integrate faith in their learning experience. So that's very common.
The Pam, it's going to be 100 years. Simpson is going to have their centennial celebration. Are you already planning on that?
We actually had a preliminary event planned for this month. And with COVID and just the protocols, we have moved that out to our major event is going to be in the spring and fall of next year. And we're going to be bringing alumni from the Seattle, San Francisco, and Reading campus to Reading to have a major event here and celebrate, in addition bringing community to participate in that. We're going to have events throughout the whole year and a calendar planned, and we will reveal that once some of the COVID protocols are modified going into early next year.
Okay, so be standing by, in other words, because there's going to be some cool things happening.
Yes, there are.
Hey, Dr. Hall, you have grown this year.
We sure have.
We didn't talk about that a lot, but enrollment growing during this time of the year when other universities are not growing because of COVID.
Mm-hmm.
But that's still impacted on you. You still got a number of students that wanted to come,
right,
but couldn't because of right. traveling distances. Or what happens when a parent calls you and says, "I'm concerned about my son or daughter coming to a college or university"?
Well, I've received a few calls, but our admissions team receives most of those calls, and they have studied and have a carefully articulated response that goes something like this. they explain how we manage the input, as we mentioned before, starting with a clean slate. And then testing, and then social distancing, and how we require masks and so on. And we won't have attendance at sporting events, at least in the foreseeable future this year. And parents usually say, okay, that makes sense. They look at the numbers, they look at our process, and they say, okay, that's good. Still, some will say, look, I can't get a flight. So they say, can I defer my attendance to the spring? So we expect a much bigger spring enrollment than usual this year. So that's pretty exciting. They've been very positive about our new athletic programs and our new academic majors.
Now, I imagine that after it'll be interesting to see what happens in mm-hmm. 2021. My new rule is that I will never mention 2020 again. That's my rule. I have several rules I never break. I think that's going to be one of them. I'm not going to go back and say, oh, hey, to my great-grandchildren and say, oh, yeah, you should have lived in 2020 when you had to when you went to the bathroom, you had to use poison ivy to take care of that. And you know what?
Made you tough.
Made you tough, though. It made you tough. You walked tall. It's... We've got like 2 minutes left. I was going to ask another question, but I want to reserve this 2 minutes for you. What do you want to tell our audience and people around the world?
Well, we're just really blessed to be open, and we want the world to know that we're being at the high level of responsible. As I mentioned yesterday, requiring us to reduce further our density in classrooms and increase use of masks, even in athletic competition. So we're doing everything that we can do, and in concert with the federal government, the state government, and Shasta County Health. Simpson's on the rise. We're leaning into our centennial year. We're going to be doing a centennial campaign, very likely, for a new academic building and an event center. And we're not slowing down. The momentum is good. The students are fantastic this year. We have some of our best students ever. We're recasting the vision for the seminary. We have great teams, as you said, students coming from around the world to be on our teams and be in our programs like kinesiology and engineering and digital media. The times are great, and we're going to keep the pedal to the metal. And we have Pam out there getting around the world, telling them about our centennial campaign. And we're just very thankful, and we're thankful, Carl, that you give us the time on the air.
Well, you know what? It's like everything else. You all are a part of Reading. It's Simpson of Reading.
That's right.
When you think of it like that, as you know, our other college here, our community college, the fact that people can have their own university here that has a variety of majors that
right.
they can get into,
right.
not just nursing and teaching, which is what Simpson is famous for, because you turn
right.
out such great graduates. But now all of these others,
that's
other
right.
ways, this new STEM program, which was you know, we need it here.
Right.
So, yeah. So it's easy to support an organization that really is good for our community.
And, you know, one other thing I would mention, when I came in, you remember my saying, we want to be a great partner to Shasta College. Commensurate with that, we changed our learning management system to use the same learning management system as Shasta College, so students could easily transfer and finish at Simpson.
That was a great idea.
Thank you.
So, well, thank you, Dr. Norm Hall and Pam Shalo, for being with us today, and all your students. There's a great group.